This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, fine. How are you?
I'm fine. It's just that I made you sit through the new Beatles video, so I just wanted to check in.
Did I watch it right to the very end? I don't think I did, did I?
You did, yeah.
I did, oh!
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Just it's all I want to talk about at the moment. Mm. The video is made by Peter Jackson. It's quite a departure from his usual style, I would say.
I was very surprised that was who done it.
Yeah. Mm. Because he sort of reanimates George and John with present-day Paul and Ringo. Mm. Ringo's dressed up for the occasion in a tracksuit and some of his own merch. I'm surprised because Peter Jackson, of course, did all those Hobbit and Lord of the Rings films. Could he not have maybe made John and George look a bit like members of the undead for added realism?
Yeah. Oh.
Come back to bite Paul and Ringo.
How popular do you think that would have been? Just for you?
I think it might have been more popular.
More popular, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, thanks for humouring me with that. I do like that song. I think it's lovely. You've been very patient with me this week, I just want to say, because I called you yesterday and said, I don't think we'll be doing the podcast tomorrow, but I do need somebody to pick me up from hospital where I'll be coming round from a general anaesthetic.
God, I was so excited.
As it turns out, that wasn't the case, and here we are doing the podcast.
I barely slept last night looking forward to it so much, seeing you all like bleary and like spouting nonsense.
Well, I think it will happen is the good news.
Great, let me know.
Yeah,
let me know.
I will. You're my first port of call,
pun
intended. You've also been very kind to me because you've been sending me a number of links to news stories because you know that for one reason or other, and I'm not really leaving the house very much at the moment. Mm. And you've given me fodder here for the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I was going to run through some of the some of the stories that you sent to me. I think this was a headline in The Guardian. Mm-hmm. What's that rule? Because Annabelle, you once dated and married a guy who worked in journalism.
Yeah.
And it was, if a headline ends in a question mark.
The answer is no.
Yeah. Mm. So the headline is, has Britain already conducted its last census?
The answer, no.
No, it's not. But there are proposals by the Office for National Statistics to scrap the census in 2031 and pull that data in from other sources, which I say good.
Okay, you want the end of the census?
Yeah, because I don't want my descendants nosing around in my business.
You don't want them knowing the truth?
No, because I've done a bit of digging around in my family history. Mm. I'm not a genealogist. I've not gone deep and assembled a tree or anything, but I've looked into it a little bit. And there just wasn't anybody who wasn't a manual labourer, unskilled factory worker, like nothing. Mm. Going back a couple of hundred years, it was really disappointing.
All you want really is either someone famous or someone foreign.
Yes.
That's the truth of it, isn't
it? Yeah,
famous,
yeah.
Famous or foreign, that's all I care about.
Yeah, like some kind of circus performer.
That'll
I would
do.
Have been happy
That'll
with.
Do, yeah.
But no, it was deeply... deeply disappointing. Do you think the reason, you know, they say, like, we if it, if it, the, we can't have nice things because we ruin them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is because of that thing a few years ago when people started filling in Jedi as their religion?
Do you think that would happen again? Probably.
It wouldn't be that, but we know that we are a population easily stirred to that kind of thing. We're just waiting for the next Boaty McBoat phase.
that's the first thing I thought.
Yeah, because it's the same instinct, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder if that's part of the reason why they may be scrapping the census. Mm. And of course, it will reduce my chance of going to jail. So there's always a lot of pressure because you have to fill in the census by law.
Or you go to jail.
I don't know about the jail, law.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yes, it's illegal not to fill in the census.
What was the last one? I don't think I did it. Oh, God.
Well.
Going to jail.
They're hunting you down. Oh, fortunately, they've not got your address because you didn't fill in the census. but yeah, and from what I understand about jail, the big house, prisons as well, when another prisoner finds out that you're in for census avoidance, you can have a rough time of it.
Can you imagine?
Get a shiv in the knife.
Yeah.
Shiv in the night.
Yeah.
So you'd be good at making a shiv.
I don't know how to make a shiv. How do you make a shiv?
Oh, it's been,
is it something with a razor blade?
Yeah.
Or a toothbrush?
Yeah. I feel that even if I've got the basic ingredients, I'd struggle with the structural integrity.
Okay.
I also don't think I'd be able to shiv someone. I think you would.
I think easily. Yeah.
Listen to this. I've forgotten where you sent me this one from. Starfish arms are actually extensions of their head.
What about that then?
Scientists say.
What about that?
No.
There's no question mark at the end of that. No. That is fact. Extension of head.
This isn't
They're
good,
not arms.
Is it? It's not good, this. Says
Does it make you see them in a new light?
The echinoderms more closely resemble disembodied heads than multi-limbed creatures.
Oh my goodness.
Experts have discovered. They say the unusual adult body plan of starfish doesn't arise as a result of the central part of the body or trunk giving rise to five identical parts. I know in recent years there's been a backlash against experts, and I find this upsetting. I like people who know about things.
Right, yeah.
To be making informed decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm really annoyed at scientists about this.
Really? Why?
Because if you'd found that out, why wouldn't you just keep it to yourself?
I love it. Why don't you love it?
It freaks me out. I don't want to think of those things as like bits growing out of the head. I want the
like Medusa. They're like little Medusas.
No, it's like their little starry arms and the starry legs. God. And the pointy one on top. That pointy one on top can be part of their head. But I just think those scientists are going to regret putting that information out there. It's going to be like Oppenheimer all over again. Another one?
Go on then.
So look. I think this was The Guardian as well. According to the annual Teens and Screens report, which surveys 1,500 people aged 10 to 24, Gen Z, is that what we are?
No.
No, but close.
We're Gen X. I don't know. Oh, you're doing a joke. I thought you really thought that.
No, I know what I am. I'm the one after Boomer, but before Millennial.
Yeah.
Gen Z want to see way less sex and trauma depicted on screen. Instead, they want more emphasis on self-love. Does that?
Yes, don't say the word. Yes, yes.
So they want to see that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And friendships.
Mm.
Their preference is to watch lives like their own. I understand that.
You understand that?
Well, yeah, I do actually. I was going to sort of say that would be quite depressing. But I think Fran Lebowitz says you want a book to be a window, not a mirror.
Right.
And I do think I quite like my culture to be a mirror a lot of the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not good. But you know what I mean?
Don't.
Like, I would rather read a book about some emotional situation, the emotional entanglements and relationships between somebody, between a Gen X man, maybe in the UK, maybe another European country, maybe New York, and his family and his wife and infidelity, you know, all the stuff of life.
Yeah.
than, I don't know, read about a geisha having the feet bound.
Right, okay.
I don't know, it doesn't reflect well on me.
No.
But, you know...
So if it's what you want, it's what you want.
The heart wants what it wants.
The heart wants what it wants.
But you know who said that?
Who?
Woody Allen.
Oh.
Shouldn't be encouraged.
Oh, dear.
This is what comes, actually. Wanting art that's a mirror and not a window.
Yeah.
I'm not wading into that.
Okay, we'll leave that then.
Yeah. I might even edit that. I very rarely edit this podcast, but I might edit that out. They say they want authenticity rather than romance and sex. What I like there is the understanding that there's nothing authentic about romance.
Yeah.
And
real life doesn't really involve sex, certainly past a year.
Yeah, and listen, I'm a broad-minded adult. I could enjoy some erotica, but I just think it's got no place in most films or TV shows.
Shall I tell you what I really, really struggle with?
Yeah.
How much married couples on TV kiss on the lips.
Oh, horrible.
They're always doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember the last time. Like, this can't be normal.
A peck.
They're not just pecking. They're like, they're quite often what I would call Frenchying on TV.
Necking.
That's not normal.
Necking.
It's not normal.
Ugh. French kissing.
Mm.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
Is that what you just said? French pashing?
Frenchying.
Frenchying, yeah, mm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's rare for sex scenes in films or TV shows to serve a purpose. If something weird happens,
mm-hmm.
or something funny happens,
mm-hmm.
or something that reveals character, then I'm on board for it. But I just feel that they tend to reveal buttocks.
You don't.
And nipples.
Most of the time you don't need to see it.
No.
I'm going to start doing what my friend Jane Collins' mum does and keep a book on the side of the sofa. And every time a sex scene's come on, I'm going to pick up the book and read it and just protest.
Did you just say your friend was with Joan Collins?
Yeah, my friend Joan Collins. Yeah, Jane.
Oh, Jane, okay. Because her sister Jackie could be quite racy. I think. What's interesting when they say, and you know, I know I said that thing about wanting a mirror and not a window, but when they say they want to see their own lives reflected, sounds a little narcissistic, but aside from that, it is interesting to me how much crime we watch on TV versus how much crime most of us encounter in real life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's disproportionate, isn't it?
You should hear the podcast I listen to as well. Endless.
Yeah. I'm not thrilled about that whole situation.
No.
There's something about true crime.
I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong.
Not sitting well with me.
No, I know. Me neither.
I remember getting to a point with listening to those things when, you know, with the big popular ones.
Mm.
And basically they make you mistrust and suspect that somebody was a murderer and leave you with that as a cliffhanger at the end of the episode.
Mm.
And then the next week an episode comes out and it turns out that was a complete red herring and they were fine and they were nowhere near. But you've spent a week thinking someone's a murderer. And I don't think that's great when it's real people involved.
Bit manipulative, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But I would watch more TV shows where just ordinary things happened, I think.
Go on.
Like. Earlier today, Sarah and I were in a cafe.
Mm.
And she ordered some banana bread and a coffee. They brought it out. And then a guy came over and said, oh, I think you got my order. It turned out they'd ordered the same thing, but he'd ordered first. Now, Sarah said, I'm so sorry. However, this is the detail. She had already made an incision in the banana bread with a knife.
Right.
And he looked at it with utter disgust.
Oh, that she got into it.
Yes. He was sort of trying to pretend that it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell that there was no way he was having that banana bread. He felt aggrieved that she'd made the incision. And there was no way he would never eat it. Even though the only thing that had touched it was a clean knife.
Can I tell you what I'm shocked by?
Yeah.
Like when you said Sarah had ordered in a cafe banana bread. Because I feel that's the sort of thing you only ever make at home. You don't ever buy it. And then he told me someone else had ordered it as well.
Yeah.
That was weird to me.
Here's the truth. They'd stopped doing food.
Oh, okay.
And there were just a few baked goods left.
Oh, that could be the only way this could ever happen. The fact so many people would order banana bread.
Got more of these stories, but... Maybe I'm gonna sit on them.
Save them for next week, maybe.
Or later.
Oh, later. Great.
Shall we hear from the Drifters?
Oh, yes, let's. First one is Laura. I attended a university which prides itself on small group teaching, a blessing, but also a curse for a drifter. I did not thrive in these sessions where, unlike in the lecture theatre, there was no hiding, no blending into a sea of faces. One morning, our tutor asked the eight of us in our year group who were under her charge to come to her office for a meeting, a start of exam term pep talk. We were all girls, susceptible to the pressure of the competitive atmosphere, and she was a feminist, always trying to give our confidence a boost. She had two offices in different buildings and we hadn't all met at this one before. We were all there first and waiting outside before she arrived and so entered the room altogether. It was much smaller than where we usually met, so there wasn't enough seating for us all. I perched on one of two of those wide-seated, bobbly fabric reception area charms chairs with our arms. Thinking that somebody might share the chair with me, as we all knew each other, I'm petite and there was easily room, I shrunk myself to only occupy one side of it. Nobody did join me, however, the others finding spaces on the edge of a table or on the windowsill. Probably reflecting my general discomfort in this setting, I subconsciously stayed perched on only one side of the chair, continuing to occupy as little space in the room as possible. Mid-speech, to illustrate a point about confidence, I suddenly heard, "Laura, own that chair!"
Oh no.
Everyone was staring at me. She was making an example of me for sitting tensely and looking meat, my default state that I didn't need reminding of. This was almost 10 years ago now, so I don't remember what my response was, probably just to glow red. My friend and I still bark, "Own that chair!" as a method of both encouragement or congratulation for any achievements in life.
Fantastic.
And this is from Jeanette. A story from a few months ago about a drifter daughter and her non-drifter mother at the hairdresser's reminded me of a similar situation of mine set in a movie theatre. My mum and I went to see the movie Fried Green Tomatoes, which came out in theatres in late 1991. I would have been about 24 or 25 years old. This was in the good old days of movie going when a majority of the patrons didn't behave as if they were in their own homes by talking and getting out of their seats regularly. During a particularly dramatic and quiet scene where the only sound was the soft dialogue of two actors, I noted a strange sound coming from the man sitting to my right. It was a rhythmic squeak right at my ear level. I peeked over to see that he had his movie ticket stub, which had some sort of shiny coating, folded and wedged between his molars. Back and forth, back and forth, squeak, squeak, squeak. It seemed it brought him some comfort and he wasn't doing it to dislodge a kernel of popcorn. My first reaction was mild disgust at his dental habits and the idea of that piece of folded ticket going in and out between his teeth. But then all I could think about was that sound. It was horrible, irritating, and all I could hear. Fried Green Tomatoes dialogue faded into the background and I was engulfed in the world of squeak, squeak, squeak. I sighed. I shifted in my seat. I looked over at him. None of these actions made the man stop what he was doing. He continued for what felt like 10 minutes, but was probably only two. My mum noticed my squirms and sighs and looked at me. Just that moment, it hit me. I could tell on him, rat him out and grass him up. I pointed out silently to her what he was doing. Without a second's thought, my mum leaned over to me, tapped his arm and said, "Hey, we can hear that, what you're doing." The man looked over and instantly stopped his infernal squeaking. He never did it again. My mum was a non-drifter hero that day. It's too bad I did not inherit that gene from her.
Oh, we all need a non-drifter guardian.
We do. We really do.
Like some kind of buddy system.
Yes.
Send us your story of maybe your non-drifter guardian or any excruciating social situations in which you have found yourself. The email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle.
Yes.
What's going on with your Substack? I get the impression that change is afoot.
Thanks for asking. There is. So, 6 months in now. Just over 6 months, in fact.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I don't think you'd stick with it.
Did you not?
Of course I did. Oh, you're very
dedicated. I am a sticker.
Dedicated, yeah.
Something big this week.
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow, in fact. Well, Wednesday. Anyway, depends when you listen to this, doesn't it? It's my first post for only paid subscribers.
Oh.
So if you've been subscribing the £2 a month that it costs or whatever it is in your local currency, this is the first time you're getting something just for you. It's exclusive. But you can upgrade if you're just a free subscriber at the moment. And it is, the reason why I've done it as my first paid subscriber one.
Is that you want money?
It's because I want money. I've got an outstanding Thames water bill that needs paying.
How much?
116.
Oh. Mm. I don't know how much my last water bill
was. Did I mention this last week?
Oh, we did this whole thing, didn't we?
I know, but please tell me I didn't mention my Thames water bill then.
I don't know. No, you're not on a meter, are you?
No, I'm not actually. I'm actually not on a meter for that, and lots of people
I mean
are.
Like a prepaid meter.
No, a prepaid one.
Does that exist?
No. So one of the reasons I'm doing it is because of money. Now, the reason why I'm doing this particular one is
How much do you think my last Thames water bill was?
116.
Pay it monthly.
A monthly? I don't know. Like, so £20.
Oh, so close. 26.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Monthly. Interesting. Yeah.
So anyway, this bill.
So,
of yours, or...
no, let's. We've moved on from the bills. We're talking about why this week, no other week. Well, as I say, it's been 6 months, but also it's something, I'm writing about something that I've never written about before.
Oh.
And very, very, very rarely spoken about because I'm so ashamed of it. Like, properly ashamed and a bit sad.
Oh, is it your parenting skills?
There is some connection in what you've just said.
Oh, I think Annabelle's a wonderful mother.
Really?
I do. I think you're so wonderful as a mother.
I did speak to you on the phone the other day and you heard me like really having a go at Rudy because he kept pestering me in the background. And he went, oh, how's the gentle parenting coming along? Or something to that effect.
But you are so good at that. I felt very comfortable making that joke.
Okay. So, listen.
I'm listening.
Huh?
I'm listening.
You're listening?
Yeah. I know it looks like I'm ordering a delivery, but I'm also listening.
Listen, I'm so glad you can multitask. What are you going to order?
I'm going to order some chat.
Some chat.
Six pieces of chat.
Yeah.
And I think a chili paneer. What do you think?
I think it would be weird if you didn't.
Yeah. Where's it gone? So go on. I am listening.
Listen.
Yeah. What? Think about we're on the radio and I'm like getting all things ready things up.
Apart from it's to take away, yeah. If you
but
want
I've got to eat.
You've got to eat. A man has to eat.
Yeah.
If you want to subscribe, mm-hmm. you can just Google my name and it'll come up on Substack somewhere or other. Annabelle Port.
And does it do that for everyone or does it just do that for you because you've been Googling your own name a lot?
Yeah, that. But I think I've got my name's not Jane Collins, is it? Like my name is slightly unusual.
Yes.
So you can put my name into Google and then click on the Substack, or you can go to annabelleport.substack.com, or you can go to Substack and put in Bitwig, Quite Normal, or my name. It's going to come up. And then if you want to get all the good juicy stuff, you're going to want to subscribe. It's £2 a month.
It's nothing, is it?
It's the cheapest Substack on Substack. I mean, I haven't checked, but it must be.
Do you want to know how much I've just paid for my dinner?
Go on.
£28.85.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
If at this moment you're ordering a £28 dinner, then you can spare me £2 a month. No, only if you're enjoying it. And
I ordered a mango lassi and that really seems to have bumped it up. And weird, right? You wouldn't have thought that makes a difference.
Extremely expensive. But also, listen, if you really want to read it and you have got zero money, just let me know and you can have it for free anyway. It's fine.
Yeah. That's lovely. It's like an honesty bar system.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So there you go. Look it up.
I will. Now, do you have another one? I mean, I won't because I'm already subscribed.
Yes, thank you.
But I don't think I pay.
Mm.
It'd be weird. Like, here's what is weird for me specifically. This is different for listeners,
yeah.
But we have an intimate relationship, an intimate friendship.
Mm.
So it would be weird for me to pay £2 to Substack.
Mm.
And then how much of that do you get?
Well, like 80 to 90% of that.
Right. So wouldn't it just be better for me to slide a £2 coin across the table to you?
Yes, every month.
Yeah,
yes.
Which I would do.
Yeah,
I would do that.
I'll comp you. I'm going to comp you. I'm going to comp you. Okay.
I don't expect it, though.
No.
It's just it feels weird to send the money around that system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do know what you mean. Yeah. Totally understand. Okay. I'm going to comp you.
Thanks.
Right, a way in which I'm not a fully functioning adult.
Yeah, did I say that?
Yeah, you did. I'm just saying it again. Right, I've got a postscript to my Vinted obsession.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sarah's signed up for it.
Has she? Oh, my God. Are you enjoying it?
No, I looked at it once and we'll never open it again. But Sarah's already started ordering stuff off of it.
Oh, she's just buying stuff, not selling. Great, So I've got two postscripts. So, in fact, I've got a PS and a PPS. Were you obsessed with PSs when you were younger?
Oh, yeah.
It's a phase that you go through, isn't
it? Yeah, and the more Ps, and when you find out you can add the extra ones.
I'd write letters with so many PSs, it'd be like PPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPP opposite end of the country.
I know, but I think it's the same thing that sees you writing your address as England, the world, the universe.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a phase everybody goes through. So here's the first PS. Got an email from Gary.
Oh, yeah, Gary.
I want to say surname, but I'm worried that he exposes a bit about being an every courier and I'm going to get into trouble.
He's
an every courier. You know, every. It's like the new Hermes.
I don't think
they deliver a lot of the vintage stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what Hermes is, right?
Oh, no, Hermes. Oh, yeah, right. But, you know, I've told you before, I'm a real DPD guy.
But you know what Evri is? No. Evri.
I've never seen
that one. It's what Hermes is called now. They changed its name.
Oh.
Mm.
Did the people who made the fancy scarves object?
Are they the same people? Of course they're not the same people. Anyway, this is Gary from back in the day. He's got a name that sounds like a very famous
character. I know you, mate.
I don't want to say it because I'm nervous for him.
No.
He didn't tell me not to.
No.
I just don't want to get him to trouble.
No.
Anyway, guess what? He's in every courier. You don't know what one is, but you do now.
Oh, no, but I know what Hermes guy is.
Yeah, yeah.
Or gal.
Exactly. He's not happy that the news agents get 20p for a parcel just sitting there because he gets 49p a parcel, as he says, bearing in mind that I have to spend my petrol going to the place, knock on the door in the rain, discover the person hasn't printed the label yet, come back again the next day, and then transport it to the depot, 49p a parcel. That's interesting.
And he's probably peeing in a bottle.
Oh my God, they're all on my road. You know I live in a cul-de-sac. They're all on my road. I keep seeing them. These full bottles away. There's two at the moment. In the gutter.
Do they keep cats away, though?
Well, if they keep foxes away, it's good because there's 8 foxes that live on our cul-de-sac. I'm not even
8
joking.
Foxes, yeah. 2 bottles of urine.
Oh, no, where do I live?
Hedge with strange notes sellotaped to it by a bizarre neighbour.
Oh, dear. So he adds that he'd much rather we all use the lockers, and we all prefer the lockers, so that's good.
Where will I find a locker?
Oh, you don't know where these lockers are?
No.
It will come up when you buy something, or you can just Google it. He also got into Vinted recently and notes that Vinted sellers use the cheapest possible packaging. They sellotape stuff up in carrier bags and bin bags.
Oh, you want to see something? If my dad ever sends me something.
Oh, right. Well, that's just what people are doing.
It's just tape. Yeah. He manages to make parcels really just out of tape.
No.
Yeah. He used to be a postman.
Oh, God. I'm not quite at that stage yet, as I'd been hoarding old Amazon A4 envelopes and old Jiffy bags to reuse, even though I was 98% sure I was never, ever going to use them. But here we are, about halfway through them. Gary also says, I once made the mistake of going into a newsagent with my own Vinted drop-off recently while wearing the every uniform.
Oh.
This was enough to confuse them, as I thought I was there to collect the packages. Had there been 49p on offer, I might well have done. Okay, here's the PPS. As I said last week, I take the Vinted selling very, very seriously.
Uh-huh.
I give a very thorough description of the item. I've started ironing the clothes for the photo, and I don't take a picture of them just strewn on a wrinkle unmade bed in a darkened room like everyone else seems to. I also pride myself on same or next day sending out the parcel.
If I open Vinted, which I never thought I would do again,
yeah.
if I open it,
yeah.
Can I easily find you on it?
Yeah.
I really need to do this.
Do you want
to
know my username?
Yeah.
Okay.
So do a search for members, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to love my username.
Oh, God.
It's so good.
Yeah, it is.
Leg.
What? Leg? Leg what?
I don't know if I want to share it. I don't want people looking at like all the old clothes I'm getting rid of.
It's customers.
All right.
Customer
then.
Base.
Okay. It's leg warmers.
That's not bad.
That wasn't gone.
Hang on.
Most people call themselves like Chrissy23964 or something. So I was quite pleased I got leg warmers.
Let me tell you something. Mm. So I've just realised I had to try and pick a new username.
Yeah.
So I tried my name and it was gone.
Right.
And they also don't recommend that you do that.
Right.
But for ease. And then I have a username that I've used on the odd thing, which is, this is a boring story. I wish I hadn't launched into it now. It's quite an obscure Swedish word
right. For
a particular feature of the Swedish political system.
Right.
Gone.
Oh.
Yes.
Weird. And yet I got leg warmers.
Yes.
How weird's that?
I know. This is why I mentioned
it. There must be billions of users and I managed to get leg warmers. That was a big surprise to me. Those photos are all right. Comparatively was what I mean.
Right.
Don't comment. Please don't comment what I'm saying. Please don't comment.
No, here's the honest truth, right? I looked at this because I was expecting to mock it because I don't think...
Like, I'm not known for my photography skills. Is that what you're saying?
Or like a strong sense of aesthetics, I don't think.
That is so true about me.
It's not important to you, and I think that only reflects well on you. Mm. But, yes, you display these well. They're well lit. Mm. They're hanging nicely.
Mm. Some of the older ones I haven't ironed. That's a recent thing.
There's like some kind of snowsuit there that you've got on for £1.50 or £1.92, including whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's got a slight hangman quality to it. I think it's just that we could do with seeing a bit more door or hanger or whatever. Well,
I can reshoot that. Yeah. But you can see that I take it very seriously, right?
Yeah.
I do feel like it would be like if Karen Brady or Stephen Bartlett was running my Vinted to earn £20 a month. Like, I'm bringing my A game to this, okay?
I can see.
I really am. I got my first review 2 days ago. You get reviewed from buyers.
Oh.
You can also review your buyer. A lot of reviewing going on. My first review, 5 stars.
Congratulations.
But of course, right?
Yeah, on the evidence of what I've seen, yes.
Exactly. They gave me a comment. You have to give a comment as well. The comment was great, ! Many thanks. Brilliant. Very happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then shortly afterwards came my second review and it was devastating.
What?
It was like if Stephen Bartlett had got a 9-page takedown in Forbes magazine. 4 stars.
But you see, I've got this problem with people. I've said it before now about the people who give him 4 stars to Uber drivers and things. It's because they feel like they're Egon Ronne or, you know, some serious critic and I can't just go giving 5 stars.
Oh my God, it's so annoying.
It's really annoying.
It's like if the package was really late or the clothes were torn or stained with no warning, you can give me 0 stars. That's fine. 0 stars. For anything else, it's got to be 5 stars.
It's binary.
What does 5 stars? What does 4
binary.
Even mean?
It's thumbs up or thumbs down.
Exactly.
It's not. You're not giving a star rating
here.
Were you happy or weren't you?
So I'm so confused what she means by this 4 stars. But luckily, I've still got the comment to read. So that should shed some light. I read it. The comment says, good, thanks. What? Good. She bought the item on the evening of the 29th. I posted it the next morning. It was 2 pairs of next dinosaur pajamas in a good condition. She got them for 75p each. Why just good? I had to look at her profile, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
She's got 31 5-star reviews. So she has an overall rating of 5 stars, whereas my now overall rating is just 4.5 stars.
She's dragged your average down.
She has. I told Tom and he said, God, I've been selling for over a year now. My overall rating is 5 stars too.
She just took a dislike. There's something about you that she disliked.
I'm furious. Like, why is she giving me 4?
Maybe she didn't like your cutesy name, Leg Warmers.
It's not that cutesy, is it? Maybe she thinks I'm a dancer.
Kids from Fame.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe she hates the Kids from Fame.
Maybe it's that. So what I do is I message her to ask, but I cover my fury with these words. I write, hi there, I'm new to Vinted, so I'm interested to know why you only gave me 4 stars in order to improve. What were you not entirely happy with? Many thanks. I wait to hear back. Nothing.
Oh, you nothing. Called her out.
I did. So what do you think I did next? I'm going to give you some options. A, nothing, accepted the 4 stars and moved on. B, review her as a buyer and give her 0 stars. C, review her as a buyer and give her 5 stars. Or D, review her as a buyer and give her 4 stars.
Was one of them just nothing?
Yeah.
Was it that one?
Certainly was not. Oh. It was D. I gave her 4 stars. She's now got 31 5-star reviews and 1 4-star review.
Had you bought anything for?
No, but you can review your buyer as well.
Oh,
It's very weird.
And do you just have one rating? Or do you have a buyer rating and a seller rating?
Two different ones. They rate you, you rate them.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, does it all...
Oh, yeah, amalgamates. Okay, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then I do my comment. You have to give a comment. Yeah. I wrote, good buyer. Thank you.
Great.
I'm a bit annoyed, though, that my 4-star review wasn't enough to bring her average down from 5 stars. But I think we can all see that I'm very petty, but not so petty that I'm now also going to use up all my Vinted profits to buy all her Vinted stuff so I can give her enough 0 stars to bring it down yet.
Oh, well, this is an abrupt end to this week's podcast. Let me explain what happened. You are now hearing me the next day from all the previous stuff in this episode. And what happened was, as we were recording, my son came upstairs and wasn't feeling very well. And we tried to wait it out, but it ended up being 11 o'clock at night and Annabelle went home. So we're going to have to leave it there for this week. Apologies. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Adrift. Thanks to Man in the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took our photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And Laura, own that chair.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.